Retro video game consoles are pretty awesome, but I just got the one that I've been anticipating the most. I'm going to review the C64 by Retro Games next.
This is Twit.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hands on Tech. I'm Jason Howell. So if I had to trace my passion for technology back to one key item from my childhood, it'd be pretty easy for me to put my finger on it. And that's the Commodore 64. That's one of the most popular computer systems, especially at the time. I think it was known as the most popular computer system in the 80s. And I had a Commodore 64 for quite a few years when I was a kid. And I just have so many memories of connecting to bulletin boards with my 300 baud modem, downloading commercial games that I probably wasn't supposed to have, just trading floppy disks with friends at school. I mean, this defined my childhood. So when I heard that Retro Games was going to put out a Commodore 64 mini console, I was elated. Now, in 2018, they released the C64 Mini, and it's about half the size of a normal Commodore 64. It included some games, but you could also tap into it to basically run any disk images from the Commodore 64 that you wanted. I thought that was neat until I heard that the keyboard was completely unfunctioning, which is an issue. I have a retro a Raspberry Pi with RetroPie on it, and I've emulated Commodore 64 many times, but not having the Commodore 64 keyboard actually changes the experience. There's certain keys that you have to remap. It's just not the same thing. So then I was super excited when Retro Games announced that they were doing a maxi version known as the C64. It happens to be what I have right here. It's a full-size version with a functioning keyboard, and it is awesome, especially for someone like me. I'm the perfect person to give this a spin. So let's take a look at my experience with the C64. First, let's talk about the hardware itself. And boy, am I happy that I waited for the full-size keyboard release. The design is impressively faithful to the original bread bin model of the Commodore 64. There's like a sandpapery texture that surrounds the keys on the keyboard that, to my memory, is pretty spot on. The like chunk of the space bar and how it feels when you slam that feels just right. Totally takes me back. And the keys themselves, they're pretty good. They're maybe a tad wobbly compared to my memory of the original Commodore 64, but thankfully, I'm not typing this review on it, so I don't care, as long as I can hit that run-stop key when a game tells me to. About the only real difference that I can tell from the original is that the shift-lock key doesn't lock down into place when pressed like it did on the original. It is a software toggle, so it still has the same functional use. It's just not quite as satisfying. All in all, I'm very pleased with how faithful this keyboard replica is. It's a joy to use. Where things are very different from the original is the side and the back of the unit, basically the I/O ports. On the side is a power button that you just tap and hold to power on or off. That's different from the switch on the original. Also, three USB ports for plugging your joysticks in on the side or other USB peripherals. On the back is a micro USB port for power, an HDMI out for your modern television or monitor, something you can't do with the original Commodore 64, and another USB port. And I'm super pleased that they included that additional rear-facing port because that allows me to keep a thumb drive plugged in there when I want to add more games, which you can do, and I'll talk about that. My only real complaint is simply how light and in some ways kind of hollow the entire system feels. The original had some heft to it, you know, 1980s technology, and this new version contains a small ARM computer with 512 megs of memory, so it's pretty svelte. This is an emulation system running Vice after all. Also, no true Commodore 64 peripherals can be plugged in here, at least not easily. So no user port, no IEC port or expansion port. Now, packed in the box is this joystick, which, as you can see, has a lot more buttons than any Commodore 64 joystick ever had. Really, you just end up with one if you're using a traditional Commodore 64 controller. There's a lot more here, and I'll talk about how that interfaces. But definitely not quite the slick stick that I adored back in the day, but it does the job. It is super clicky, Pretty loud. A characteristic, personally, I never really cared much for in those old school joysticks. There's a large button on both sides, so that makes it usable for lefties and righties. And along the bottom is a row of specialized buttons that tap into the carousel interface of the C64, which I'll get to, as well as for allowing specialized functions during gameplay. So you can load and save states, you can open a virtual keyboard, which on the Maxi, the large version of the C64 is unnecessary, really. And then, of course, you can exit out to the main carousel screen to load a new game. The stock joystick is really kind of essential if you want to jump in and out of games quickly. It's a bummer there aren't other designs to choose from, because, like I said, it does the job, but it's definitely not my favorite for long stretches. Bluetooth support is not included, but some people in forums have had luck with different modern controllers plugged in via USB, so assume that you're probably using the stock controller unless you really want to go diving deep and experimenting. You might be able to take your favorite controller and plug it in here, but it's probably not going to be super easy out of the box. Now, a mini console release is often only as good as the games that are included on it. And if you check Wikipedia, it says that the Commodore 64 originally had around 10,000 commercially released softwares for the platform. So no matter how you chop that down, you're going to disappoint somebody. The C64 ships with, well, you guessed it, 64 titles out of the box, including a few VIC-20 titles. A firmware update that you should flash brought another 7 games to the carousel and some additional functionality. Overall, though, game selection is pretty paltry, in my opinion. It doesn't quite match my own nostalgic experience, but like I said, everybody has a different experience. I really appreciate the Epic's heavy offerings here. So you've got Impossible Mission, all the games, it's like Summer, Winter Games, the Jumpman series, pretty much many of Epic's classic titles are in there. There's also a few other favorites, Iridium, Paradroid. There's some good games in there, don't get me wrong, but many of these titles simply were not on my radar when I was a kid. So when it comes to nostalgia, I'm really looking for titles that I know, and I'm going to get to more on that in a second. But gameplay itself is as smooth as it needs to be. I didn't find any games that didn't work the way I remembered them playing. It is an emulation approach, though, so consider that. It's not going to be perfect, but I didn't detect anything that clued me into it being an emulation. I have emulated the Commodore 64 on the Raspberry Pi, and some keys don't exist on the keyboard that you have to plug into the back of the Raspberry Pi in order to do it. So like I said earlier, having this keyboard even makes the gameplay experience that much better. The carousel UI, which you use very frequently with the C64, is thoughtfully done as well. You've got some game cover art, some gameplay screenshots, and then a description of the game along with details like who the composer was, which personally as a C64 aficionado, I can say that that's super important. The SID chip is an amazing music chip that was included in the C64. This does a perfect job of emulating it, and it is really nice to know if Hubbard, produced that track that you're about to listen to. There are display options if you wish to add some CRT-style scan lines to the experience, though personally, I kept those off for the most part. So 64 games out of the box, pretty limited when you're talking about 10,000 total titles, but it isn't a deal breaker. Because if you format a thumb drive to FAT32, you can add and play D64 disk images to your heart's content. Though you might have to do some cleanup work first in order to make that happen. The integrated file manager only shows 256 files in a single folder. So if you have a library of thousands of games, you're going to have to shift everything around into their own folders in order to get access to all of those within the interface. Or you can tap into a community-driven upgrade for the C64 called Project Carousel USB. This actually adds hundreds more games directly into the carousel interface, so it's as easy to pick and choose as the stuff that ships with the C64. Now, do note, Project Carousel may violate copyright rules, so you're going to want to be sure to check your local laws before diving in, check with your own ethics and see if you feel comfortable with that and if it's legal for you to do so. But if you do choose to explore this. It's super easy. It's non-destructive. It doesn't overwrite the firmware permanently. Basically, you just throw the image files on a thumb drive and then flash the firmware temporarily after boot up to access all the games in that interface. Once you power off, the original firmware returns to stock. There are a ton of what I consider to be the true classics here, and more titles being added all the time. That's Project Carousel USB. So all things considered, I've spent hours on the C64 because it really is for me a dream come true. The hardware is close enough to the original that I feel like I'm playing my old computer. The ease of use of the carousel makes picking games and loading without waiting for that 1541 drive to take forever to load up that game. Like, that's a thing of the past. It just makes it really nice to jump right into the game that I want to play. The joystick, yes, could use some work, but it could really be a lot worse than it actually is. Honestly, if you were into your C64 as much as I was when I was a kid, this is a no-brainer. You're going to love it. But the big challenge right now is finding one. The project, from what I could gather, was delayed a year to release. It was supposed to release a year ago, but it took until this December for one of my coworkers, Russell Tammany, to find it and reserve, do a pre-order for it. He got it through Amazon for its list price of $129.99. And he gifted it to me for Christmas. Totally took me by surprise. So right here and now, Russell, thank you so much for putting the hugest smile on my face every time I play this thing. But that's to say that it might be actually very difficult for you to find one in this moment in time. And I don't know if or when that's going to open up. But if you have the opportunity and you see it in stock, definitely jump on it. If you want to take a trip back to your childhood and play the Commodore 64, you can do no better, in my opinion, than checking out Retro Games, the C64. You can catch my reviews all over the Twit network. Of course, All About Android is the show that I do about Android right here on twit.tv. Thank you for watching.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.